Have you noticed that nowadays, whenever anything is talked about by the government or by anyone else, we're inundated with outcome measures, performance measures? Everyone is measuring everything. What is the result of what we've done, where we've spent our money, what our initiatives are? And, it's extraordinary, really, because there's a couple of things there where we measure where we never used to. On the top left, it's the percentage of those people who are treated within 4 hours in A&E. It's kind of not looking good. And it's one that we spend a lot of time worrying about. What is the outcome of all the money that's being spent? The one on the bottom right is how much on time the trains are. And, well, it's settled down, shall we say. But I won't say at what level. But there are words that we use regularly now. I mean, when did resources come in? We talk all the time about resources now, don't we? And tasks. And outcomes. I mean, whatever happened to stuff? Activities and results. And we're going to be thinking today, as we look at this next bit in Ephesians, about those three things, about resources, tasks, and outcomes. But first of all, a bit of a recap. We've been looking at Ephesians for a few weeks now, and you remember we talked about the mystery that was revealed right at the beginning. There was a mystery that Paul talked about, and he said this mystery is actually that God's plan was not just for the Jews. It wasn't just for one little nation in the Middle East, but it was actually for everyone. And then we thought about how that plan was made available through grace. And I'm not going to make you sing the ditty that John kept playing and for most of us for the rest of the week was driving us mad. And we thought about how Paul had such a right position of himself. He considered himself so unimportant, the least of God's people. And last week, we got to the start of the prayer, because everything so far, Paul had just been brewing this prayer, and he hadn't really got as far as the prayer. And today, in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at the second part of that prayer. But last week, Phil and Amy talked about prayer. And in verse 14 and 15, two things to notice. Firstly, Paul talks about kneeling before the Father. So he's praying to the Father, praying to God, and from whom the whole family derives its name. And last week, Phil and Amy were talking about family and how important that is as a concept in God's eyes, not only in theory, but actually in practice. And so we now get to the next stage, to the next part of the passage. And this is what he says. So he's now really getting into the prayer. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You always go to the end first. Always go to the outcomes first. You'll always be told, if you're ever doing a project, what is it that you're trying to achieve? And then get everything else to work towards that. So when we look at the outcomes, what do we see? The outcome is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is the whole goal of Paul's prayer. That's what he wants. That is what he's praying for these people in Ephesus and for us as well. It equally applies, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the outcome that Paul is praying for. That's what he's looking for. And you know, that is absolutely the best thing for us. If Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, that is the best thing that can happen to us. And that is the way that we can become fully human. We can be as God intended us to be. That's how God wants us to be. Remember the mystery? The mystery was that the Jewish nation, they thought that God wanted a special relationship with them. They were right. He did. But what they didn't get, or not many of them got, was that actually God wanted a special relationship with absolutely every nation and every person. And that was his goal. That was his real goal. And the real goal for Paul when he prays is that we might have the best possible relationship with God. That we might be as God intended, as he originally intended when he made human beings, that we are in a relationship with him. Just a little look a little bit deeper about that, because it talks about Christ may dwell in your hearts. Let's look at that word, dwell. There are two words in Greek for dwelling. The first one is called parokaine. Kane, sorry, Brian. He tried to tell me how to pronounce it properly. That means to lodge or to stay temporarily. Like you might stay in a hotel. You might go and stay for a few days with someone. If you actually look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, the same root of the word is used there, where he says, when Paul is talking about, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. Temporary residents. There is that word in the Greek, which Paul clearly knew because he used it elsewhere in the letter. But he didn't use that word here. He used a different word. Gone the wrong way, I think. Sorry. I'm going completely the wrong way. There we are. He used the word katoi kain, which means to reside permanently, to be at home. It actually means to make a home. And if you can imagine what home means to you, and you may have good or bad experiences of home, but a good experience of home is somewhere of security, somewhere where you feel safe, somewhere which is good. If you've ever travelled away, there's something about coming home. It's a very strong emotion and thought for many of us. And actually that's what God is saying, is he wants to make his home in our lives. That's the level and extent of relationship that God desires to have with us. But actually it means a little bit more than that as well. Because it means that God effectively becomes the homeowner. Because when God becomes a homeowner, that does change one or two things as well. There's a certain amount of authority and responsibility. And if he's the homeowner, then that means if God is going to live, is going to dwell in our hearts by faith to the best, then actually that's going to mean we will need to accept in his life his authority. So Paul was really praying that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. And that is absolutely the best thing that can happen to us. And that is how you and I were created to be. Let's look at resources. Stuff, in any other language. Throughout the letter of Ephesians, Paul was constantly talking about riches. And he starts off by saying, I pray that out of his glorious riches. Now, Paul, in the letter of Ephesians, went riches mad. If you go through the book, he's constantly talking about riches. He starts off in the first chapter, the riches of God's grace. He then talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance. He talks about God who is rich in mercy. And he's talking about how he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. We're still only at the end of chapter 2. At the beginning of chapter 3, he talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And in this passage, he talks about out of his glorious riches. His glorious riches are the resource that God makes available to us in order to achieve that outcome. But to really understand them, I think we need to look back into Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. And I'm just going to read these. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. We've sung about it already this morning. The riches of God's grace become available to us through the cross, through the shedding of blood, through the problem of sin being dealt with. Our access to the riches of God's grace comes only through the cross. Isn't it interesting that he said that he lavished upon us? What a great word. The riches of God, he's talking about his son dying, the shedding of blood, lavishing. Lavishing on us. And so the secret is, and the way we can access these resources is only through the cross of the Lord Jesus, where the problem of sin was dealt with. It's a bit like having to plug in a lamp. If you've got a lamp, it needs to be plugged in. You cannot access the resources of God unless you have been put right with God. And you cannot be put right with God except through the cross of Jesus. It's the only option. The only way you can access these glorious riches is through the cross of Jesus. There is no other way. We've said this many times, it's been said many times, but it is absolutely 100% true. There is no other way. So we thought about resources. Tasks. This is the middle part of this passage. So that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Now you might be saying, why tasks or activity? Why tasks? Doesn't seem to quite fit there. It's talking about what God is going to do. And the reason why task is important and activity is important here is because this middle phrase is all about action. It's about being active. Can I point one word out to you in the middle of that? It's the word you. Because through these glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strengthened you, not someone else, you. It's something that applies to us. You see, when we talk about the inner being, we really need to think about those aspects which include to some parts of the mind, the will, the spirit, all of these things, the inner being. Paul talks in Corinthians about the inner being, the outer being being destroyed, inner being growing. But this is what we're talking about. So he's talking about strengthening you. This is really important. This is really, really important. Get this. What the problem is, I held it upside down. That's why I started going backwards. Let's just look at that verse in a little bit more, where we talk about in verse 16, he talks about strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Actually, sort of almost a literal translation of that is by power to become mighty. And it's about you and I being made strong or being made capable or able. It is actually about what you and I can do. And the word that's used there for power is dunamis. It's another Greek word, but it's the same word from which we derive the word dynamite. It's the same word, which is why I thought a power station being knocked down by dynamite was quite kind of ironic. But this is about the Spirit's power, by his power, to become mighty, to strengthen you. It's to enable us to become what we should be as humans. Powerful, effective, unique, loving, decision-making, reaching our full potential as human beings as God wanted us to. Hang on a minute, that's kind of familiar. Isn't that what we said was the outcome? And suddenly, the task and the outcome have merged. You see, when we look at this verse and it says that to strengthen you, the Holy Spirit is not there to turn you into a robot. It's still you. The Holy Spirit is not to turn into some sort of automaton that you can walk around and you don't have to think or do any of these things, and that actually things in life don't affect you, don't impact you. What happens to everyone else in the world doesn't matter. You are just there. That's not how it works. Because what Paul is praying here is he wants the absolute best for you, and that means that his Holy Spirit is going to, by power, make us mighty. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? Or it should be. Just notice something else as well in this prayer. Do you notice that Paul talks about the Father? He kneels before the Father, and he says about his glorious riches, the Father's glorious riches, the Spirit will enable that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Notice there is the Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul is using these in this way. And you may say, oh, well, hasn't he interchanged Christ dwelling in our hearts with the Spirit indwelling? To some degree, what he's doing is he's emphasizing that the Trinitarian God in all his fullness, in all his aspects, is on one mission. He's on one mission. And the mission for you, the mission for us as a church, the mission for the people in Ephesus almost 2,000 years ago was the same mission. Can I talk about domestic appliances for a bit? Kind of change the subject, I know, but... On the left is our washing machine. I don't know what you think about washing machines, but I can remember when I was a boy, the washing machine had to be dragged out into the middle of the room and there was sort of twin tubs in it. And there was a great big wooden thing I seem to remember being used to prod things. Those of you that are maybe over 25 maybe remember that. But this washing machine is very good because when it works, you know it's working. You can watch it. There's all sorts of things going around. There's a bit of a splish splash. It has this wonderful little red light on it with a number. You know the thing? It's got a number on it. That is being designed specifically to make you late for things. Because you come in and you say, oh, there's 4 minutes to go. I'll just wait for it to finish before I hang the washing. Sometimes it really makes a noise. Sometimes it gets into an absolute fit and tries to throw itself into the middle of the room. But you always know when our washing machine is at work. There is no question. There is no doubt about it. And sometimes it's quite dramatic. On the right is our dishwasher, which is very, very quiet. There's no lights on the outside. You get occasional little beep. You have to put your ear next to it to see if it's sloshing in order if it's starting. And many's the time I've walked up to it and opened it and thought, ah, shouldn't have opened it then because it sounds water everywhere. You know, both machines wash. They both work, but actually they're very different. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit works in our life, it's more like our washing machine. You know it. Other people can see it. It can be very dramatic. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit works in our lives, it's very quiet. It's very gentle. You may not know it's happening hardly. And I just want to say, because sometimes I think we look at other people and say, well, actually, I quite fancy that experience. Or I quite fancy that experience. Or maybe I quite fancy a quiet experience. Or I quite fancy a loud... God will work with us through the Holy Spirit in lots and lots of different ways. There's not a standard way. There's not a standard protocol. He will work with us in different ways. Why? Well, he's not predictable. Secondly, because he is about working in you. You are a unique individual. He wants you to become fully human, the best that you can be. So he will work with you in the best way possible, in the way that he wants to. So, where does this leave us? Paul's prayer. It's about being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live powerful lives, to be indwelt by Christ, and to fulfill God's master plan for the world and for you and for me, to be fully human, to live out the full potential of our lives. But I wonder where each one of us is. Maybe we have never made that commitment to Jesus to access the glorious riches. Maybe we've never actually said, through the cross of Jesus, through his death and resurrection, through that I can get forgiveness of sins and be plugged in to these glorious riches. Or maybe we have, and maybe we kind of feel we've lost the power, The motivation, the excitement. Strong and mighty, you've got to be kidding. It's not how I feel. There can be all sorts of reasons why that happens. All sorts of things can happen, some in your control, some not. But what I want to just leave you with is I think we need all of us to take a moment, to take stock, and to say, where am I? Am I allowing God's Holy Spirit to work through me, that Christ can dwell fully in me, that I can be all that God wants me to be? Have I even started that process? Or have I just kind of said, yeah, we're on the way, but let's just slow down a bit. Let's slow down a bit. If in any way you think, actually, that's me, I think I need to think about that, then please pray. Please find someone to talk to. You may want to come and speak to someone afterwards. But let's not forget what Paul was praying when he said, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What a fantastic prayer. What a fantastic goal for each one of us.